Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me tonight, as always, from the D.C. area, improv artist and comedian, Sean Paul Ellis. How you doing tonight, man?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, man, that is good to hear. And from the San Francisco area, I guess I should update that intro for you, huh, Matt, since you're not technically San Francisco anymore? Where are you at?
No, well, it's San Francisco Bay Area, but well, it's Berkeley now. But
oh, it's Berkeley. I don't know. I don't know the differences out there.
It don't matter.
He's from the Pacific Coast, West Coast, representing. Anyway, tonight we are talking one of my favorites. This one, I was glad that it kind of held up to the standards of my imagination and memory because I was pleasantly surprised to find out that it was just as good as I remembered. A few little things here and there that were kind of quirky and they were a little irritating, but for the most part, it was pretty good. Of course, we are talking Mighty Max. That may not ring a bell for a lot of you folks, but for our longtime listeners, we mentioned it last week because we talked about Reboot, in which there is a character named Megabyte, voiced by a gentleman named Tony J. And Tony J voices a good character in Mighty Max, and that just kind of triggered my memory from childhood and decided, hey, what the hell, let's take a look at this one. So, without further ado, we are going to turn it over to Matt, and he's going to walk us through a little bit of the history of this series.
Okay, so in kind of a weird turn of events, I know some of the other episodes and series we looked at were American series to promote American toy events, but this was a little bit different. So Mighty Max ran from 93 to 94, but it was actually to promote British Mighty Max toys, right, which was apparently an outgrowth of the Polly Pocket line.
Yeah, that one came first, and then, yeah, they needed one for boys, I guess, so the Mighty Max came out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they were just like, you know, we'll get the other half of the market there.
Right.
But at any rate, some of the it ran for two seasons, mm-hmm. Total 40 episodes, aired during the show's run. The show actually also generated a spin-off merchandise in the form of a comic book, a board game, as well as McDonald's play sets, which actually I remember the McDonald's play sets.
The tiny little, like, real chintzy plastic things that, like, had little spin around stuff and tiny, tiny choking hazard figures. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember choking to death on one.
But, exactly.
At any rate, some of the notable voice figures for this is Rob Paulsen as Max. Tony J, which, going back to last week's episode of Megabyte, was Virgil. Richard Mull was Norman. And actually, Tim Curry was Skullmaster.
Yes.
Which watching a couple of the episodes, I recognized the voice, but I was like, Jesus, who was that? And it just came together for me, like, Dave, when you pointed it out. But at any rate,
happy to oblige.
Exactly, yeah. But Brad Garrett, Kate Mulgrew, Ron Perlman, and Maurice LaMarche also contributed to this. So, Kate Mulgrew, she was the captain from Star Trek Voyager. Ron Perlman, he's been all over the place in nothing that ever took off. But
he was Hellboy. I mean, give him that at least. He was just in Pacific Rim, too. Him and Guillermo del Toro are good buddies.
Really, did Pacific Rim break even?
I think internationally, thankfully for that international market.
Okay.
I mean, Ron Perlman's also been on every season of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, that's true.
Wildly successful. Yeah.
He's doing all right.
Alien Resurrection is one of the bounty hunters, and he's the voice of the intro for every single time you fire up a Fallout video game.
So I did point out Alien Resurrection to Dave,
yes,
but also I did kind of point out Beauty and the Beast with Linda Hamilton.
The live-action series from like the 80s or early 90s?
It was late 80s,
yeah,
but I was just like, maybe I should keep that one of myself.
No, we're going to do a spin-off. We're going to do a spin-off podcast on weirdest live-action series adaptations. We will start with Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, that was a weird one, but I remember watching that, actually. It was kind of okay, I think.
I didn't watch it. My mom watched it.
Yeah, I think I watched it with my mom. Yeah. So that was a weird aside. But yeah, the voice cast on this one, really, really solid. I mean, not just like the leading trio. Actually, four, because we include the villain with that too. But yeah, they get a lot of cool, like Brad Garrett, before anybody knew him from Everybody Loves Raymond. He pops up and he does the voice of this like bizarre character who I'll talk about a little later on. But it's cool because Maurice LaMarche has done a ton of voice acting work in recent years. He's still going strong too. So it's a really, really solid cast of voice actors, especially for people who know, you know, are in the business of voice acting.
Yeah, so, cool the voice acting on this series, as opposed to some of the others, was really, really strong.
Yeah.
Like with Tim Curry, I mean, he just crushes everything he does. Creepy. But I was really impressed. Really impressed.
His enunciation is to be admired because he is very like classically trained, and he just he literally you can pick out every single one. And he, when we get to the intro of the pilot, which we'll talk about in a little bit. He is actually the first voice that you hear over this crazy kind of opening in which the villain is revealed. I don't want to ruin too much of that now. What I will do is thank Matt for the history, and I will tell you guys a little bit of the synopsis of what Mighty Max is all about. It's a little strange, so you kind of have to just stick with that and just work through it. It's a little strange, but once you kind of get into the mythology of it, it's pretty cool. And we'll start with that right now. The series, as you might have guessed, follows a kid named Max. He's a preteen. You don't know too much about him from the intro, except he comes home. He talks kind of fast, and he's a little snarky. He's that typical kind of like 90s teen hero kind of guy. He's not overly like macho. He's a little laid back, a little lazy, but very energetic. Has that kind of gung-ho attitude, and he's always got a pun, which kind of drove me crazy when I was watching this, but he's always got a pun for everything. Anyway, he shows up at home, and he gets this bit of mail, which just happens to be an Egyptian statue in the shape of some sort of weird chicken-looking thing.
Man, if I had a nickel.
Yeah, for real. Every time. I gotta keep sending those back. FedEx, don't listen. Anyway, so if one of those shows up at your house, you get your book, you know, of Egyptian hieroglyphics off the shelf, you flip through it, and you decipher the code. No big deal, right? And then you drop the statue and find a red baseball cap inside with the letter M on it, and you're like, yeah, okay, that's normal. Whatever.
That's what killed me. It's like, break open an ancient Egyptian statue, find backwards baseball cap. It's like they anticipated the 90s even back then.
Exactly. But it is interesting because they do – we'll get into the show and how time travel and fate and destiny and prophecy and all that stuff kind of ties in, because it is a little tongue-in-cheek. They do make fun of themselves a lot for this. But they do also explain it within the show's mythology too, which I think is kind of cool. So – what's a 90s teen to do when he gets a baseball hat inside an Egyptian statue in the mail?
Skateboard.
Well, that, and you put it on. You know, first thing, put it on. See how it looks. At that point, everything changes in Max's life forever, because this cap is actually one of the quote-unquote cosmic caps that gods of the ancient world used to be able to transport them back and forth, you know, across the world, different places. They could just kind of teleport through these portals. And now Max is the recipient of one of the, I think, the last remaining cosmic cap, or one of the last remaining ones. Now,
I'm just so glad.
Yeah, that the 90s happened.
I'm so glad that the gods chose to travel
via an adjustable baseball cap,
wearing a shitty red baseball hat.
Do you want me to ruin this notion that you have of gods wearing their red baseball hats traveling around like Red Sox fans?
Nah, this fucking show.
Sean is not amused. I will save this until the end, because I want to mention the finale where this does come up again. So, Sean, if I don't address this point, please remind me, because it is an important one. It's one that for 30...
I'm not going to try to remind you.
No?
I'm not going to try to remind you in any way, shape, or form.
For 39 episodes.
If this is something where, like, at the end, you're like, this is the big reveal, and this is the thing, I'm still going to be like, these are gods that travel with shitty red baseball hats that have a yellow M on them.
Sean, what if they switched from the adjustable to the fitted cap in the late 90s?
And the weathered, the kind of like the fitted, weathered build.
What if they go from DJ Jazzy Jeff to Fred Durst? Tell me what happens. Ugh.
There's literally no scenario that makes this better. I'm gonna be honest. There's no disappointing scenario that makes.
Well, I'm gonna throw it out towards the end of this episode, and we'll see if you come around.
I just want to.
I don't think you will.
Know, Did the gods also have shitty blonde mullets?
And like a
Justin Bieber coif in the front?
I feel like Thor probably did. I don't know if they get into the kind of the Scandinavian
gods.
That's
like a Norse mullet. Right, so, right. You know.
That just kind of goes with the territory, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Questions for the ages.
Oh, no, these are questions that I hope never get answered.
Oh, like, well, I'm going to answer regardless.
I wanted to be able to at least voice my opinion on this.
Someone's working on their PhD right now based on our conversation.
I certainly hope so. But all this talk of baseball caps and gods and transport, you might wonder, like, why? Like, what is the purpose of this? Well, apparently there's this evil villain who wants to basically conquer the world by the name of Skull Master. Fantastic name.
Oh, my God.
Real good. Really? Real good villain. Skull Master. You don't like him? Man, you didn't like anything about this show.
Dude, I loved Skull Master.
Skull Master's the best.
Dude, I would just love for Skull Master to just read me things. Like, if he could read me maybe like a Papa John's menu, it would seem so much more
I want him
epic,
to just answer the phone of every time I have to call the bank or Comcast or anybody.
Exactly. Oh, the Comcast Skull Master voice. Oh, it would be so good. It would be
very clear. You can understand everything. Very enunciated. Very respectable and professional.
Press 3 for customer service.
Capybara. So anyway, so Skull Master's trying to take over the world. Sounds kind of stereotypical for a villain, but he does it with such panache and such style that I kind of love the guy. You got to love Skull Master, or not if you're Sean.
I'd let him do it. If I was the leader of a world power, I'd be like, you know what? You've got a better oratory style than me.
This guy's going to take us places. This is a guy we can get behind. I'm okay with that. Well, since we're talking about the characters, we might as well jump into them, right?
And look at them cheekbones.
Look at them cheekbones. Yeah, that's all he has, just bone face. He's got no nose, just got a hole where his nose should be. He's kind of a Voldemort, kind of, like, before there ever was a Voldemort. Got that kind of look to him, but he's jacked. And we will talk about him in a second, because I want to compare him to the other characters that we have here, too. So, we should probably start by talking about Max. I mean, we kind of already mentioned what he's like. If you saw any, like, movie in the 90s that had a teen lead character, that was basically Max. He was skateboarding places. He always had like a witty thing to say. He's kind of irritating, kind of grating. Did you guys find him irritating?
You know, I didn't, just because it was a real like 90s persona, right, for me. The kind of like, you know, human version of the Ninja Turtles of the time. It was kind of like the skateboarding, pizza eating, backwards hat wearing, falling into a time space, you know, traveling situation that, you know, so many teens of the 90s fell into.
Much like Bill and Ted. It was basically Bill and Ted the cartoon show, except there was a Bill and Ted the cartoon show. So
exactly. Yeah. Swap out phone booth for baseball hats.
Exactly. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I will say this. Max, super gung-ho about everything. Like, he gets this weird statue. He deciphers it. It tells him basically, like, go to the mini-mart. He's like, you have been chosen. You are the chosen one. You are destined to wear.
That's where it kind of fell apart for me. Go to the mini.
Go to the mini-mart down the street and wait further instructions.
Why couldn't it be go to like the Los Angeles, you know,
La Brea Tar Pits?
Exactly. The La Brea Tar Pits. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, you know, the Natural History Museum. Go to the fucking mini-mart. Right. Like, come on.
But I thought that was funny. And I actually liked the humor in the show for something like that. Because it was so laugh. Off the wall and just out of nowhere that it was like, okay, they're going for it. So that's fine. Because, I mean, it's a kid. Yeah. It's a kid in an oversized shirt and baggy jeans wearing a baseball cap that transports in places. So they can't exactly take things too seriously. So I liked it. I was fine with it. I found some of his puns and sometimes his voice itself a little grating. But I think I loved it when I was a kid, so it didn't really bother me. But he's got, like zero reluctance to jump into this thing. He basically, we'll talk about the episode in a little bit, but he basically gets this cap, gets transported, meets a walking, talking, like 4-foot-tall chicken, a giant legendary warrior, and then he's face-to-face with not only Skull Master, who outsizes even this warrior, but these like lava beasts that are chasing him around, and he's basically faced with like these just awful obstacles that he has to overcome. And he's just kind of like, all right, let's just go with it. And he wants to protect these newfound friends that he has, and he wants to fulfill his destiny, even though he doesn't know anything about it. And he's got kind of this, like, can-do attitude that I really liked. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I like him.
You know what? I loved Norman and Norman's role in this thing.
Yeah, let's talk about... Yeah, go ahead.
It was so awesome.
Now,
so
Richard
Norman
Mole,
is...
Yeah, voices
him. Yeah, he's Max's bodyguard. Right. So basically, there's a whole backstory, and Dave, I'll let you get into that. Sure. But, you know, he's this, like, you know, your standard kind of broad-shouldered, sword-swinging, ponytail-having ancient warrior.
Kind of a Brock Samson, a little Brock Samson.
Little Brock Samson, like, you know, kind of just your stereotypical, like, ancient sort of
little
warrior.
Little Highlander, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but he's like already with Virgil, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I've been waiting like 5,000 years or something for you, or whatever, like an eon or whatever it was." Right. But at the same time, it was like, you know, an eon ago, was there like sentient chicken people? Like,
well, that's an interesting point. There is a whole side race, Virgil. Well, we'll talk about Virgil in a second, since we're on Norman. Virgil, who's the 4 foot tall, walking, talking chicken, is actually a Lemurian. I'm sorry.
He's a fowl.
He's a Lemurian, which is a race that was kind of wiped out by Skullmaster at one point. But yeah, he's not a chicken. He is a fowl. Yeah, that's an ongoing joke throughout the entire series, where Max calls Virgil a chicken all the time. He's like, "I'm not a chicken."
Is he friend or fowl?
Oh boy.
Ha ha! But anyway, Norman. Yeah, back to Norman. He just killed me. He's just like this big stereotype, you know, kind of like that ancient warrior, sort of like a Conan figure.
Yes, very much.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, he's got like these little asides, like these quips, you know, and it's he's like a serious character who doesn't take himself serious.
Yeah, and so voiced again, like I said, by Richard Mull, who people probably know best as Bull Shannon from Night Court. If you don't know that, go check that show out, or like just check out some of his clips on YouTube, because he's hysterical.
Say what? Yeah, right? I love Night Court.
That's a great show. Great show. But this is for the kids. They don't know the Night Court. I'm surprised I haven't brought that back. But anyway, great voice for this guy, because like Matt said, he's pretty gung-ho too. He always says stuff like, you know, if they're battling giant ants, he's like, "I eat giant ants for breakfast." If they're battling like lava monsters, "I eat lava monsters for breakfast." So it's just, he just on and on and on and on with stuff like that. He's got his own little like... his own little like jokes and his one-liners and his catchphrases, but they also do a good job of giving him a little bit more of a backstory too, which we can talk about later. But to give you just a tease of that, his exploits have basically worked their way into popular culture as the legends of like Thor, Hercules, Samson, some of the more classic heroes. It was all Norman. Norman was just hopping around to different time periods and doing these things. And when people wrote his stories down, they attributed it to the legend of Hercules and things like that. So I kind of like that idea. Virgil is very much just like the leader of this group as far as the scholarly side of things go. He knows where the portals are. He knows the map of everything. He knows the path of destiny that Max is supposed to follow in order to defeat Skullmaster. Now I want to go back to Sean, because Sean does not like Skullmaster, and I don't understand it. I want to know why.
Really?
Yeah. You don't like Skullmaster.
You know... No, I mean, I think, like, going back and looking at this show, this was really sort of... I'm getting very tired, or just the idea of calling the villain, like, whatever the thing is that they're called.
Yeah.
Or however they look. Basing the name... Having the name based off of the physical appearance, I know, and I know it is an 80s and a 90s thing to do, and I'm fine with it. I think... I don't know why this one, pardon me,
sure,
struck a nerve, but like you have Norman, who's like a ginger bodyguard. Yep. You've got Virgil, who, yeah, I know, like, you know, they, like, who's a bird, but like people just seem to have like these regular, and then they're just like, and then they just, all the fucking villains are just named after exactly either the function that they serve, right, or some component of how they look. And I don't know what it was, but that really annoyed me.
Well, I think it was more for like the, again, we talked about this with Dino Riders, like the toy, you know, the toy company. They're just we got a giant skull guy, and he's the master of all the other skull guys. Let's just call him Skullmaster.
And Sean, I really can't wait till we do He-Man.
Yeah, right. Or any other like a strict 80s show, because it's unfortunately all the same. But yeah, I get your point.
I understand. Yeah. I think I don't know what it is. I think that this one finally just kind of grated on me enough where I was just like, this is fucking dumb. And like, whatever. I don't give a shit.
I happen to like him because he is actually our intro. This is a good segue to the intro of the first episode, the pilot, called A Bellwether in One's Cap. All the titles have these kind of puns to them. which if you like them, awesome, you're going to love this series. If they piss you off, you're going to hate it within the first one or two episodes. But yeah, Bellwether and One's Cap actually starts with the sequence of like these weird tunneling machines, these digging machines, these strange, not just regular like construction equipment, but they've got these strange like shovels and axes.
Yeah, it was somewhere between like Alien and like Total Recall.
Yeah, like the mining equipment. It was,
yeah, exactly. It was real weird, and it really threw me when I first saw it. I was like, okay, is this kind of like like a Ninja Turtles kind of like shredder tunneling machine, or like what the fuck?
No, you don't know.
It was real weird.
You mean like the Technodrome?
Oh, Technodrome.
Yes, exactly.
Love the Technodrome.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, exactly. But and there was no explanation. Like, kind of, and they're just tunneling around, and it's like, I mean, there was no intro at all. Like, well, it would have been really great if I got some sort of like, I'm trying to get to the surface from Skullmaster.
Well, look,
you
kind of get that though. I'll give you, for the listeners who haven't actually seen this yet, I'll give you kind of like a breakdown of what happened. So we're seeing these tunneling machines. Like Matt said, you don't really know where they're going, why they're going anywhere, or which direction they're even going. All you hear is the spooky, creepy voice of Tim Curry saying, "Dig, swallow, chew. Eat me a hole so I may bring pain." And he, like, he goes into this, like, creepy, shadowy monologue about bringing pain and war and destruction to the surface world. You have no idea who this is. You don't know what his name is. He just kind of emerges from the shadows, like, just this skeletal face. And you're just like, whoa. I mean, at least I was like,
that is so fucking metal.
I was pretty impressed with that. I liked it. Because it was just like, all right.
Yeah, no. That was the only part of the episode I enjoyed. I was like, all right, I'm on board. And then they bring in this dude, like,
Mighty
on
Max.
A skateboard and a crappy hat with a mullet.
Just didn't do it for
didn't
you.
Do it at all.
But yeah,
didn't
that's what happens next. So we start off strong with Skullmaster, and then we're introduced via multiple guitar solos, some more chill than the others. Max always has, like, a guitar solo following him around. It's just like, sometimes it's just kind of like a chill jam band, just kind of playing in the background. Other times it's like they're doing, like, these...
Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's Dave Matthews, sometimes it's Metallica.
Yeah. It just kind of switches at the drop of a portal opening hat. So, yeah. If you like that, that was another point that kind of annoyed me because it became more and more apparent that it was just like guitars following them around in the background. That was a little irritating at times.
Because they're just trying to fill time because they really had nothing interesting to say.
I think it wasn't even like fill time because it wasn't like they were just sitting and then guitars were playing. It was just always in the background.
So it was like their star wipe.
Yes, it was very much their cops or their star wipe.
Cops.
Yeah, it was that. But it was just omnipresent, always there. I will say this, since we're talking about the audio, I want to talk about the visual component of this. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but to me, this was early to mid-90s, but it had some really interesting kind of like artistic choices or even just like visual coloring choices. There are shots where they have weird like camera angles for the direction. There's a shot just random where Max opens the fridge and the viewpoint is like from in the fridge.
There's a lot of Max upskirts.
A lot of Max upskirts. I didn't notice that. I noticed the color shifts. There's like when they're in the lava caves, like everything is bathed in red. When there's lightning flashes, everything is like bathed in blue for a second. Pretty visually interesting. I noticed it because I haven't noticed it in anything else we've watched so far. It was like an interesting choice to differentiate between the different scenes because they do really hop back and forth between places quite a bit. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you guys noticed it at all or if it was just something that popped out to me, but I thought it was pretty cool. Moving on.
I was going to say, it kind of reminded me of the Darkwing Duck kind of camera angle. There were a lot of like, sort of one-off camera angles with Darkwing Duck. It was, kind of like the... I can't specifically remember an inside the fridge camera angle, but I know that would have happened in that show. It was like, kind of, the fourth wall sort of situation. It really kind of had a callback for me there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. It wasn't just the camera angles for me, though, too. It was like just the color choices in the different scenes. I mean, that's just incredibly specific and random, has nothing to do with the show whatsoever. But if you're watching it and you kind of notice something that's a little more, it just seems like somebody that came from more of a scholarly film background or something like that, or even photography, that was directing these things. Because it wasn't just like, all right, write it out, here's a storyboard, and go with it. They made some interesting decisions about that. But it has nothing to do with anything other than just like a little point that I picked up on. So,
well, I mean, like in terms of like little points, like, yeah. I mean, you know, she wears a white t-shirt with a red M on.
Right.
Just in case anybody at any point in time was confused that the blonde underdog kid is in fact Max, not to mention the fact that they say his name 1,000 times in an episode.
Or the cat bearer, or the chosen one.
Cat, or
the mighty one.
You a mighty one. Just shut up. Like, it's just, I feel like if you did like a word, like if you did like a, like
a word cloud
F on this script.
Yeah.
And like on this script and just tried to and searched for the word mighty and or Max, you'd get a ridiculous count that you'd just be like, oh my God, are they really just going to say this over and over? Yeah, they are.
They are.
They're going to say, there's a whole thing where they're just like, Virgil's like, I'm going to explain to you that your title is mighty and your name is Max. And it's a sign of respect. And you're just like, whoa, I don't need to hear any of this.
I loved it.
And not to mention the fact that like Max doesn't seem to understand or really get any of it. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, I'm mighty Max. Which, I don't know. He's also wearing a hat that has an M on it.
Yep.
It had like a weird like Jeremy from Denver the Last Dinosaur feel where like he's got like a shirt that says number one and a bike that says number one. Like, in case you were too dumb to figure out who this belongs to, this bike belongs to the guy with the number one on his shirt.
Like, well, just, the M on the cap was for Mighty. The M on the shirt was for Max. So that all
shut up.
It all worked out. It all worked
Stop
out.
It. Stop it.
And it sold toys really, really well. So there you go. Actually, I think the toys.
Did they actually sell toys?
Oh yeah, I think the toys did better. Maybe not here in the States, but I think the toys actually did better than the show. I think the toys
that
did better
sense.
Because I do remember the toys. They were
fits
the cool
for
little
the European people. So.
Yeah. Well, they do kind of like. I mean, Polly Pocket was apparently hugely successful, and if people aren't familiar
really?
With them, they were kind of like these little plastic play sets that popped open, and they had an interior to them that was kind of like this little play set with different levels and different things to access, and these tiny,
yeah,
tiny.
My,
little,
I think my sister had one.
Oh,
and it
sure.
was like a, it was like a, it was like a compact that
right.
opened up and like on the
yeah.
inside.
I mean, I'm sure
like
your
a,
sister had one, Sean. I mean, you didn't have any, but your sister had one. Yeah.
Well, fuck you. I mean, my sister had it, so I played with it. I mean, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I was,
good.
Was like three.
And that's why they brought Mighty Max in. All right, you kids, take it down a notch. Anyway,
I think Sean just muted himself accidentally, but I digress.
I don't know if it was accidentally, but we'll continue. But yeah, basically, so these the Polly Pocket things had different levels to them, and they had these tiny little choking hazard characters, like we said before. And you could just kind of like play around with them. And I don't know what the Polly Pocket ones really look like. I don't really remember them. I don't even know if I had the Mighty Max ones. The coolest one was definitely like the lava, like Skull Mountain, which was kind of like the underground, like lava-filled chambers, that kind of stuff, which, coincidentally, is pretty much where our heroes end up next. So once they all kind of meet up, and like Sean said, Virgil kind of gives him his exposition and his spiel, and Max just kind of like jumps into this and is just like gung-ho and ready to go, they have to face off against Skullmaster. Now maybe, Matt, I'll let you kind of talk about, like, I don't know, what were you thinking at this point in the show? Because I think you've just watched the pilot. I watched a few more of these. But since this was kind of like a reintroduction for you, where were you at when you were watching the show? Where was your head at?
You know, honestly, it was actually a really good episode. You know, some of the pluses was I liked the immediate conflict about it. You know, I mean, you're like diving right into the hero meeting the villain right away. Like the lava monsters thing, I was like, ah, Jesus, you know, this is like a, you know, I could have just done without that. Like, you know, they could have been on the side, and I would have been really fine with it. But at
oh,
the
you
same
mean like
time,
the you mean like the direct Batman the Animated Series Clayface ripoff that they use for these lava monsters?
Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah. I was when you know Sean. I mean, good Lord, you hit it right on the head. Like when I saw the original lava monster, I was like, oh, okay, a hot version of Clayface. Like throw Clayface in the microwave.
Like a sexy version,
right?
Or like
yeah.
a temperature hot version. I'm just
the temperature
I just
wanna, hot.
Oh, okay, I would have gone sexy. That's fine.
No, yeah, sexy Clayface version is like, you know, I said this years ago, and I just want to go on record by putting it out there. When Batman, when the Batman movies come around and do Clayface, and they tap Brad Pitt for that,
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and need to cash in on that.
There you go.
But I digress. So it was, you know, it was really good. Like, it really kind of had that standard early 90s feel to it, you know, with like, you know, the constant like heroes meeting the villain and then the villain escapes, or like something happens and they just don't, you know, throw down right there. It, you know, the kind of like Ninja Turtles sort of feel, but it was really great. You know what? I mean, just recalling this episode, it really made me remember watching the whole series. And, you right. know, I mean, I really like it. So it was it's a little cliche, but it really avoids the stereotype.
Yeah, I think especially as like a first episode to introduce everybody to the characters, a little bit of the mythology, but just to tease you enough that maybe you want to see more. I think they did a good job with that. Sean, I feel like you do not care less about this show. So I want to know just your overall kind of opinions from watching this first episode here. Would you have wanted to watch anymore?
I mean, yeah, I probably would have watched the episodes. What was it about? The specific episodes that they had that were about Norman.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. His backstory.
I would have watched Norman's Conquest and Dawn of the Conqueror. Just to kind of gain a little bit of additional insight. And I may have watched the final two episodes.
Right.
I don't know. There was something that was like incredibly rushed, about this pilot episode.
Sure.
And I feel there was something incredibly douchey about Max.
Yeah. And his attitude is a little grating. Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, his attitude, like from the beginning is just like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. And then, you know, 2 seconds later, he's like, I'm doing it.
Right.
It's like, great. Wow. Glad you took not even half of a beat to process the information.
Well, he took a half of Ritalin. So that's probably what helped.
I mean, yeah. You know, I guess I can understand somebody sitting there and saying like, I'm going to step up to the challenge of being a hero. But I mean, he seemed unbelievably reluctant from the beginning, and I actually didn't buy it. I did not buy it. I mean, I know this is a cartoon.
Like, yeah, I know. Okay.
So okay. Who cares? You know,
we like, do. This is why we watch them. This is why we talk about them.
Okay, who cares? You know, but no, I'm just saying this from the standpoint of like, you know, if this was like a live action or if this was like a movie or something, and like you could see the person, you could see a little bit more in terms of like the body language of how people process or take in this information that has just happened to them. Like, what is happening here is Max is being told he is this amazing savior because he has this ratty red baseball hat.
Right.
That was inside of a, you know,
like 10,000-year-old bird statue. Yeah.
It's not even a 10,000-year-old bird statue, a 10,000-year-old mini mart advertisement. You know, and I just it felt like from the moment he got home,
mm-hmm.
like here's what I want to know. Do you ever meet his mother?
Yes. Yeah, you do.
Okay.
So she's
cool.
Still around. She's not just on the phone the entire time. Yeah.
All right. Because I thought this was maybe like a weird Earthbound thing, like with the dad, but in this case it was like with the mom.
Well,
but it just, yeah. I don't know. I just.
Here's the thing. So I'd like to watch them all again because there is something weird with the dad. I don't remember if he was like a former cat bearer and he was with Virgil and Norman, or if that's just fanfic. I don't remember. And I watched the pilot, I watched Norman's Conquest and Dawn of the Conqueror, and then I watched the two finale episodes, which are some of my favorite titles because it's Armageddon Closer and Armageddon Out of Here. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I see the puns.
Yes, exactly. Puns. So I loved it. But yeah, I never saw his dad. They probably talk about it at some point in the two seasons. I couldn't really find anything on like the fan sites or wikis or anything like that. So if anybody knows out there, please be sure to let us know in the comments or email us or whatever. Call us idiots. That's fine.
I just feel like this was an instance where like they had an amazing voice cast.
Oh yeah.
We've talked about Robert Paulson before. We have talked about Frank Welker.
Definitely.
I mean, Kate Mulgrew was in a previous episode that we had watched. So was Tim Curry. I mean, all the people that are in this are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so that like they're titans, you know. I mean, not only a voice acting like Frank Welker, but like, you know, real notable like live action movies.
Yeah, and just went on to do big things or came from big things one way or the other. Sure. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
You know, very, very notable people are in this, and that is wonderful. This was just, for me, this was just a case of great cast, poor execution. And I didn't enjoy it. I really just didn't enjoy it at all.
I feel like I'm going to say that if you went and got past the pilot, now I don't know how long it takes them to kind of get into their groove, but I appreciated the mythology and the characterization more and more as I went along. So especially for Norman, Norman, you find out, like I said, he is the reason for all the legends of Hercules and all these mythological heroes. He has daddy issues. So when you go back,
I don't understand the whole thing with him like being immortal. Like he's immortal. He won his immortality. I guess
sort of.
I mean, I've read enough about the fan. I've read enough fan sites about this. Like okay. he wins his mortality. He beats the Conqueror,
right? In Dawn of the Conqueror. Yeah.
So he wins his immortality, and his quest is to become the greatest warrior. But I mean, like this guy's already heralded in so many legends. You know, that we have currently today. And these are things that, like, are noteworthy, that people will talk about, you know?
And
he continues to strive to be this greatest warrior, but he's already in the position where he's protecting the most important person.
Right.
But the thing is like, every opportunity, like, this is what kills me.
Yeah, all right? I know where you're going already. Go ahead.
They go to Skullmasters. So Virgil gets sucked in, like along with like the lava monster.
Yeah, through a portal that gets accidentally opened. Yeah.
All right. So the cap accidentally opens it up. Virgil and this lava monster fall in, and then Mighty Max. This is the beat that like he doesn't even take, where he doesn't process anything, where he's just like, "Oh, I'm gonna do this now." And he had like a weird Jimmy Stewart feel to him.
Yeah, he did.
The entire time he was like, "Well, I don't know if I'm gonna do this. Shut up! Like you're gonna do it, like you dummy." So like he gets to the point where like he has to do this big thing, and so he jumps through. And so, oh my god, like they've already explained to you in like two lines of exposition prior to this that like this is where Skullmaster is.
Yep.
This is the portal of Skullmaster. It's in your fucking basement.
Yep. Like, but he didn't know there even was a basement. Like where Norman else? Had to punch a hole in where the wall else? To find it. Yeah, where right. else would it be?
You know, where else would it be? You know, so like they do this thing, and then they transport to Skullmaster's lair, and they're there, and like. Like, what did you think? Like, people are showing, like, people have already showed up. You're in the second wave of people to come in here. And it was almost like they got there. Like, Norman's on this quest to be, like, the world's greatest warrior. And, like, these rock monsters take him almost completely unaware. Yeah. And just, like, and he gets, somehow they flash to him a little bit later. And he's, like, changing.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that. How the sword in hand, but still like, fighting. I don't know.
What kind of weird bondage torture porn did this turn into?
Well, it was him and Virgil who were both chained just in opposite areas. And I don't know why they chained him and then just left him go. I don't know. You don't see that.
At that point, I was like, you let this blonde mullet doofus be the savior of all of you, you know, against. Here's the thing. Never have I watched a cartoon mm-hmm. before where I was like, Tim Curry should have won in the first episode. And if he had, I would have been totally cool with this. Could have saved me 39 episodes and just let Tim Curry rule. Here's the thing. We have all said during this podcast that Tim Curry – Matt, you said that Tim Curry could read you a Domino's menu and you'd fucking love
Papa
that.
Papa John's,
right?
But whatever. We'll
guess go. What? Papa John's, whatever. Pizza menu. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I would have been totally into that as well. You know what? This could have been 40 episodes of Tim Curry reads from the phone book.
So imagine how pissed off he is that this douchey little kid and his little sidekicks are beating him for 40 straight episodes. Just imagine how pissed he is. He actually, now even Skullmaster has an interesting kind of like character development throughout the series. You learn more about him. You learn that he and Virgil actually go way, way back. And they used to be kind of like, not friends, but they used to be like scholars together until Virgil's race of people and his civilization would not give up their secrets to Skullmaster. So he basically just wipes out their civilization. I think Skullmaster also wipes out Atlanteans at some point too. He was responsible for that, so whatever.
Good. One Lumerian is one too many.
Oh, take that, Virgil lovers. I like Virgil. And he met his maker at Stonehenge, the poor guy.
Boo.
Well, here's the thing now. This will be interesting. I guess I can talk about the finale a little bit because I don't think Sean's going to be watching it. Matt, do you want me to not spoil
things? Hey, I was supposed to remind you about something 40 minutes ago, so lay this on me with this amazingness is about this show. I want
to
know.
I didn't say it was amazing. I just said it was an answer to your question about
otherwise,
the hat.
Armageddon out of here.
Matt, are you cool with me kind of spoiling a little bit of the finale here?
Spoil it up. Sweet.
So we've watched 40 episodes now, right? We're at 39 and 40, which is like a two-part finale. The Armageddon. Over the course of these two seasons, Skullmaster has never really he's never really been defeated. Max and the other two kind of go off on these different adventures, and they patch up things along the way, all while trying to keep Skullmaster in his, like, underground prison. Skullmaster gets out through a variety of machinations. He gets out, and for the entire second season, he's just roaming the surface world, just causing havoc. And these guys are
this
trying to shut
perfect.
Him down.
This sounds perfect.
It was actually pretty cool. You might like the second season quite a bit. Did you guys get the image that I sent to you earlier today?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. Because you might be wondering, as you're watching this show, Skullmaster is always Max to get the cap, right? Go ahead, Sean.
Dave, here's the terrible thing, is that you send emails out that say, spoiler alert, and that's the first email I will read. Like,
I figured as much.
I will look
like a moth to the flame.
Spoiled.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Who cares about this show? Like, who's going to be spoiled?
Who gives a shit about this show? Just spoil me.
But yeah, so you're wondering, like, okay, Skullmaster wants to get this cap. In the back of your mind, you're probably like, now Skullmaster's like this 10-foot tall, just bone white skeleton that is somehow also like muscle bound. I don't know how that works, but just huge, bald. And he's got this weird cape.
He's me with muscles and better cheekbones.
And no hair and no nose. And you're in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I wonder what he'd look like if he ever got that cap. Well, guess what, my friends? If you stick around till episode 40, Armageddon out of here, you will see this happen. And it is amazing because it's the weirdest. At that point, I was just kind of like, this is one of the weirdest shows I actually liked watching. Because he puts a damn cap on. It's not like he doesn't just hold it. He doesn't put it in his pocket. He doesn't, like, make it into something. He just puts the hat on. So you get this shot that I sent out to the guys of the Skullmaster, this great noseless, you know, terrifying villain with a fucking red baseball cap on. Now, here's the answer to your question, Sean, about the gods wearing red baseball caps. You're going to hate this. I guarantee you're going to hate this.
Please. I already hate
it. He puts the hat on.
Please continue. Okay.
So at the end, Skullmaster has this. It's the thing called the Crystal of Souls. It's not really important. It just helps him take over the world. He defeats Norman. I'm sorry to say this. Norman dies. You don't see it happen. Norman dies. He's destined to die. And he does it while protecting Max and Virgil. Virgil dies at the hands of Skullmaster. Skullmaster even wipes out.
What?
Yep. Virgil's dead. Wiped out.
Shut up.
He dies at Stonehenge.
I'm gonna watch.
You should watch the last two episodes because they're actually really good. He kills pretty much everybody that he can get his hands on. He kills his second in command. Because his second in command is like his name's like Warmonger, I think, voiced by Welker.
Yeah, no, Warlord.
Warlord? Warmonger sounds
no,
so much better.
Warmonger. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Warmonger.
All right, well, there we go. Yeah, there's Lava Lord and Warmonger, two different guys.
Thank you.
But yeah, he comes up and he's like, well, what do I get for my years of service, Skullmaster? And he's like, I will give you... This is Tim Curry again. I can't do a Tim Curry. He's like, I will give you your reward. And he just blasts him in the
nose. No. Do your best
Tim Curry. That was my best Tim Curry. I got nothing. So anyway, now it's down to Max, who has lost Norman and Virgil. He gave up the cap to protect Virgil, and then Virgil got eliminated anyway. So now he doesn't have the cap. Skullmaster, you know, he puts a cap on. He's about to take over the world. The cap turns into, like, an Egyptian crown, basically. It turns into this, like, golden helm. So at that moment, you're like, okay.
No,
kinda, I knew you were going to hate
no,
it. I
no,
knew you were
no,
going to
no,
hate
no,
it.
No,
no, no. So throughout history, you can make the argument that this cosmic cap has always been there. It's just... looks like whatever the fashion is of the contemporary time. You can make that argument. So that's how they get away with, like, Egyptian gods walking around with red baseball caps on. Because they didn't. They just wore their pharaoh's helms and things like that. So that's what happens. Now, another big...
Personally, story. I like that idea.
I kind of liked it, too. I thought it was okay. My little kid brain, my 10-year-old brain, was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. As much sense as anything else. Now, here is a sticking point with this finale. Again, it's a big spoiler because this is the end of the finale. So if you guys don't want to listen, then get the fuck out. And if you listeners don't want to listen, then just mute it or skip to our conclusion here. But basically, I don't know how fans reacted to this. I remember liking it as a kid. I thought it was kind of cool. This was it. This is two seasons. They were done. They actually got a decent way to wrap it up. What happens is, as Skullmaster is trying to take over the world, Max interferes, and they both get locked in this kind of energy transfer that lets them control time. And Max somehow spins back the clock, those two seasons, to the day that he got the cap. And once he returns to that day and he gets the cap, he suddenly remembers all the time that was leading up to that event, and he vows to do things differently this time. So that's how it ends. So it's kind of cliffhanger-y, it's kind of a cop-out. I don't know if fans really like it. But for me, it was kind of like cool because he can go back and he can do things differently. He can save Norman. He can save Virgil. He can put things right. And that's where it ends, kids. So what do you think of that? Think it's a cop-out? Think it's kind of cool? Sean hates it even more at this point. Nothing?
I don't like this. I honestly think that, like, if you're listening and you just watch the pilot and watch the last two episodes, everything else I think in between is just filler.
They even go back in the final two episodes and touch on, like, the major plot points and show you beat for beat what happened in those episodes. So you literally can watch the first one just and the last two episodes. Yeah, exactly. You can just watch the last two episodes because they even go back to the first one. Like, hey, remember when I got this hat? Yeah. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah,
Sean did
just
not.
Do that.
So Baron is going to be the deciding vote on this one, is whether we recommend it or not. What do you say?
You know what? I liked it. I would give it a, you know, lukewarm watch this till you're tired of it.
Okay. I could see that. I wasn't tired of it, so I feel like that's a justifiable that's a bit of advice for people. I think that's good. Because if you like it, it's cool. It's fun. They get to do a bunch of different things. They introduce some really, really bizarre villains throughout the time. If you hate clowns, definitely don't watch the clown episode because that is
freaking weird. Oh, man.
This is
you must have loved that, though.
I don't mind clowns. I actually like clowns. Oh. Yeah. You guys always think I hate clowns for some reason. My icons are all clowns to, like, creep you out. I don't know why you think I hate clowns. It's Krista that hates clowns. It's our buddy Doug's wife that hates clowns. So that's why I post them. I send her pictures of clowns all the time. Maybe I'll send her this episode. Hey, Krista. So, but yeah, a lot of weird villains. I had a lot of fun with it. I know it was just to sell toys, and it worked pretty well. The crazy thing is you can't really find these episodes anywhere. There are a couple stragglers out there on VHS, which is bizarre because it's like one episode or two episodes on VHS. There's no real collections. There's no series put together. Even the fan sites are a little... We'll put links up and stuff to them, but they're a little outdated, too. So, I don't know, man. I like this one. I was hoping you guys would be on board. It sounds like you're half there, at least. I don't know. But maybe our listeners like this one, so hopefully we'll get some buzz off of this.
I feel bad. I feel like this is, like, one of those instances where, like, somebody's like, I really enjoyed this thing, and I want you to enjoy this thing as well. And I just watched it.
I just want to enjoy it with you.
I do not enjoy the thing that you enjoy.
It's fine, because we already had that on Denver and Dinosaurs. and listeners, keep in mind Denver and Dinosaurs, because this pick coming up is Sean's pick. So,
I don't know, guys.
We'll see what we get.
Now, let's preface this real hard with the fact that the last two out of three that Sean has picked have been terrible.
I was going to say they have been dinosaurs, but also terrible.
And dinosaurs.
So we'll see.
You know, I actually here's the thing, and I want to pause for 2 seconds, and I want to say, I originally said that I was thinking about doing a very specific cartoon at the beginning when we were kind of talking.
Yeah, putting the list together and all that. Yeah,
I have decided to make a change. I've decided to make a change.
Okay,
I'm uncomfortable.
You should call for an adult.
I embrace change. Right? What do you got?
Captain and the Game Master.
Interesting. Baron doesn't like it. I remember the title, but I don't really remember watching the show, so this will be cool for me because
I watched a lot of Captain and the Game Master, and I owned some of the
power.
Comic
wait,
books
was he the one that had
the
power glove and, like, the belt and stuff? Or am I thinking of something?
He had a belt that had the
controller.
An NES controller on it, and he had the light zapper. This was a little bit before. I believe that there was a power glove that was in the show, but like the stock gear that he had was a belt buckle that had a NES controller on it, and then he would carry around a light zapper as well.
Well, now wait, he had the gray light zapper right before the orange ones came out for Duck Hunt.
You know, I'm not 100% sure.
I think he did, because at one point this was one of those weird things where, like, I don't think anything actually happened, but some, like, parental groups didn't like the fact that kids were, like, carrying around things that looked like guns, even if it was just in the house. And I feel like that was
parents
the first...
Are the worst.
Yeah, they're really terrible. But I feel like that was the first time that, like, the blaze orange fake gun color came about. I could be wrong. I got to look that up. But we'll let you know next week when we watch Captain and the Game Master, which Baron is apparently not looking forward to. Do you not like that one, Bub?
Sorry, guys.
I don't know anything, so this will be fun for me, as always.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
I always have a good time with it, so we'll see. Well, any final thoughts on Mighty Max? It's got my recommendation, so you guys check it out and let us know who you side with. You can be Sean's best friend if you hate it. You can be our best friend if you love it. Actually, Matt's neutral. You can be my best friend if you love it.
Yeah.
Just
I don't have any friends.
Matt just so. He just eats. You just eat pastrami sandwiches with him. It'll be all good.
So tasty.
All good.
Fill up that bag.
Bag of sandwiches.
There you go, friends. Bag of sandwiches. I got it. Speaking of that, let's get into how you guys can get in contact with us. Are you at Bag of Sandwiches yet?
I'm just drawing it out.
You're just drawing it out forever, pretty much. So yeah. Where can the people find you if they want to find you on social media?
At MattSF07.
And Sean, how about you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And do you guys have anything coming up in the next couple weeks you want to let the listeners know about?
Sure. I have a show on August 14th at the Source Theater. It's a part of the Improvapalooza show. I will be performing again with Knox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. And we'll actually be doing a show in the dark.
Ooh, that's interesting.
In complete darkness, as if you were listening to us on a podcast, but you were there live in the audience.
I often listen to this podcast in complete darkness just to get my sensory deprivation.
Oh, no.
it takes you to some strange places, kids. But you learn a lot about yourself along the way.
Salt.
Yeah. You learn a lot about yourself along the way. Yeah, I apologize if I didn't put those that data up last time on the show. So I will get those in our show notes and let you guys know where you can see Sean. Matt, how are your stories coming along?
I am going to post them right before I go on a 2-week hiatus.
Sweet.
So they will be up in and about the 20th of August.
So there you go. So Matt will be gone, so you guys control him as much as you want, so that when he comes back, he has some terrible, terrible comments to come back to. In the meantime, fantastic. We will probably be having some guest speakers, some interesting episodes up for you guys, too. So we'll still be here. Matt will be coming back. We'll keep his seat warm for him. If you're interested in finding out more about us, you can head on over to our website at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. That's morning with a U. You can also follow us on Twitter at MorningTunes, also morning with a U. Check out our Tumblr page where we post a lot of things like, oh, I don't know, Skullmaster wearing a red baseball cap with an M on it, among other things. Yeah, we're definitely, you got to post that. You have to post that.
And help keep my seat warm by trending #farts.
#farts at bag of sandwiches. That's SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. And if you want to hassle me a little bit on Twitter, you can also find me at DrClawMD. If you want to email us, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. It's pretty simple. You can find us pretty much anywhere. So thank you for listening. Hopefully you like the Mighty Max. And if you don't, let Sean know. And feel free to join us next week when we talk Captain N, the Game Master, and see how it all turns out. It's Game Master, right? Not Gay Master? I just want to make sure.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
I just want to make sure, too.
It's Video Game Master. Got it. It's okay. The Game Master.
Dude, I want to make sure I'm looking up the right thing, because as we all know, Rule 34... probably find both on the internet. So tune in next time to see which one we talk about. Thanks for listening.